But if you are relatively new here, if Washington Heights is not the place that you've spent a long time, you may or may not know how important missions is to this church. So I want to give just like a two-second commercial for some of the things that we do here at Washington Heights as far as missions trips. So you'll see the formatting didn't quite work out, but this is from 1982 to 2004. 1982 to 2004. Those are missions trips, short-term missions trips sent by Washington Heights. And here's 2005 through 2019. In those 37 years, Washington Heights has sent 61 short-term missions trips. Like, a team of people from this church went somewhere. So if you are new here and you're like, what's this church about? This is a big, big thing that we're about. We love going on mission. We love taking the gospel around the world. There's places up there from Manaus, Brazil, to China, to Nicaragua, to Mango, Togo, to Cleveland, Ohio, which apparently needs more and more of Jesus nowadays than ever, and a football team. But, you know, so just a little bit about Washington Heights and our missions trips, our missions heart. You're in a church right now that loves missions. So about early September, 10 people from Washington Heights went to Brazil. We got on planes and we flew down and we spent a couple days with some friends there in Brazil. So Ohio, way up in the top left corner, way down to the little dot there, is Ivoti, Brazil, which is where we were at. It's so far south in Brazil that you're just about the same latitude as Cape Town, South Africa. Shout out to Murren for safe time. Yep, there you go. She's going to Cape Town in a few weeks. Again, sent as a missionary from this church. So when we go on a missions trip like this, there's a couple goals. There's three basic big picture goals that I've got when I'm going to lead a missions trip. They're really, really straightforward, nothing magical and mystical, but there's just three of these things we want to do. We want to be force multipliers. When we go, we want to do a couple of things that the missionaries can't do without a couple extra set of hands. So we want to try and do something like that. We want to experience the ministries of those missionaries that we're going there to see so that we can better pray for them. And then we want to encourage those missionaries in their ministries, with their families, and just as brothers and sisters in Christ. So those are the three goals that we have when we go on a trip. When I'm on a missions trip, when I'm leading it, those are my three goals no matter where we're going, whether it's Cleveland or Managua or Brazil. But so some of the things that we were able to do while we were down there, that's our team without Grace and myself. We've got Alex and Brian Bowersox on the left, Jim Hume, George Martin, Jane Martin in the back there, David Thomas, Darlene Chaffins, and then my dad. This was fun. Wally Hoppy, if you don't know, that's my dad. Over there, wave, Wally. He hates this. So it was really fun to have a chance to lead a trip with my dad on it, and that was a unique experience. It was really fun. So we went down, and we had a couple of those goals, like we said, and one of those goals was to be a force multiplier. This doesn't like me. I don't know how you like this. So we were trying to do a couple things, and there we go. I need to be more mean with it. We wanted to do some projects around the camp. So they have a ministry center outside of the city where they have this church plant, and they have retreats that are out there. They use it for ministries. It's kind of like a Scioto Hills or a Skyview Ranch or something like that, where they've got this facility where people who are in the churches can go out and use that facility, or they also open it to the community and do some outreach opportunities there as well. So you've got kitchen places where you eat, and there's walls that need to be painted, and there's stairs that need to be built. If you need a fantastic set of stairs built, those three guys right there, that's the team to do it. That's Brian up in the shady in the back that where he likes to be in behind the scenes, and then Jim and David. So we went and we did some work. We were able to accomplish an amazing amount of work. We figured out that it would have taken the caretaker of that property about 6 months or more to do the work by himself that we were able to do in about 3 or 4 days out there at the camp. So when we talk about force multipliers, that's it. We're just trying to make a bigger impact than we could make on their own. One of the other things that we helped out with while we were down, there was some outreach events. The church plant that Randy and Cindy Richner planted about 6 years ago that started with about 4 couples, there were 120 people in the service that day that we were there. God is doing some really cool things. And what was really fun about that special church service was the pastor. I can't speak Portuguese. I can't speak Portuguese at all, and that's what they speak in Brazil. But I'm sitting there behind Randy's wife, Cindy, and the pastor is going on and on and on, and she turns to me and says, he just thanked you guys on behalf of their church for the support on behalf of your church for bringing Randy and Cindy to Brazil all those years ago and the ministry that they do down there. And I just got chills. I mean, I couldn't understand a word he was saying, but he was thanking you through us for the support of those missionaries down there. So they had this church plant. They have another church plant that they're working on. This is a place a little bit further away. We got to spend some time there doing some projects. We built some chairs. I didn't. Some guys did. Built these pallet furniture things that are really awesome, and you could like throw them off a cliff and they'd be fine. But this storefront right here, it's really what it is. It's a storefront in this little town where there's no church, no evangelical church there at all. And the Richners are going in there with a few other people, and they're just trying to minister to the real physical needs of these people. There's a chiropractor who's ranked high, really, really high in Brazil. He could be making all kinds of crazy money if he did anything differently than what he's doing. But he donates time in this little clinic to help meet some physical needs of these people, to open up the opportunity to share the gospel with these people. Why are you donating your time? Why are you doing this for free? Why is there coffee and tea and stuff out here? We just love you guys and want you to know that you're loved and that if you have any needs we can help you with. Oh, and that thing that you're searching for to make your life complete and whole, we have an answer for that. And so we were able to help and be force multipliers in this church plant. And then we were also back at the home church. This is the facility. It's very similar to our facility, except it's open to the air because you can get away with that in that part of the world. But we fed them some food. Now, one of the things that Washington Heights is known for is missions. The other thing is food. And so we went down there and we made some food. We're going to a Southern American country. My mind, I lump all of those together with rice and beans, Mexican-style food. But they don't get that. That's not them at all, which is really wrong of me to even consider that as a thing. But we asked Randy, what kind of special meal could we make for these people? He said, they love tacos. So let's do a taco night. So we brought El Paso flavor packets and all those different things down there. And he said they love hot sauce because they don't have a lot of hot sauces around. So we brought about 15 different kind of hot sauces, laid it out on this table. It was hilarious. So you've got a flour tortilla, which they don't usually do a whole lot of flour tortilla. They do corn tortillas. We got flour tortilla there, and this junior high boy walks up, and he's got a plate, like a picnic paper plate style thing, 8 inches across, 9 inches across. He puts his tortilla on there, and he took the refried beans like pizza sauce, and then meat like pizza toppings, and then everything else. And he picked it up, and it went whoop, out the ends, and it was hilarious because he just kept trying, because he's a junior high boy. But it was fun to minister to these people, to get the chance to spend some time with them. On the bottom, the left side of the screen, we played board games. We brought English board games and played board games with people we can't speak the language with, which was a lot of fun to learn how you can communicate, how you tell, what are the rules of this game if I can't use any actual words? I mean, sometimes you had to help with an interpreter, which was fantastic, and sometimes you didn't. But it was a lot of fun. We spent a couple hours with them. And that was an outreach event. That was an event where they had people who were part of the church who invited friends and neighbors. I can't tell you how many times Randy would come over to me and go, oh, it's really exciting to see that person here. So-and-so has been working with them for months, trying to get them to show up at our church. And they're here because you guys are here There's tacos and board games and Americans. That doesn't work here. I tried that once. If we had Brazilians and something else, maybe we could make it work. But there, it's tacos and board games and Americans, and they had a huge crowd. It was a fantastic evening. So in all of this, we had chances to spend time with these missionaries. We had chances to be force multipliers and to help them do some things that they couldn't do without extra hands. And it was fantastic, and it was a wonderful thing to be part of. We shared some experiences. We sat around the table. Here's food. Food, okay? So if you go on a missions trip with me, you will have some fun experiences. You'll see some cool things. You'll minister to people, but you're going to have some food. I told Randy that if we went there and we didn't go to a Brazilian churrascaria, which is like a Brazilian barbecue where they've got the meat on the sticks and all that stuff, I said, I won't come back if we don't go. So he goes, well, I'll make sure we have some. So we had it like three times. I think he was trying to do something. So Randy Richner is the center of the picture on the top left. That's our missionary. Behind him is Valdir, spelled V-A-L-D-I-R, because it's Portuguese. Valdir was a professional soccer player in Brazil, was a professional coach, coached one of their national teams. And he gave it up to be a pastor. Randy Richner is an MK, the son of an MK who is the son of a missionary. Randy's grandmother was on the Amazon, I don't even know how many years ago, and her son and her son's son are missionaries in Brazil. And what was really fun is while we're sitting there in Randy's house, he tells me that his son Joel, who just graduated from Liberty last May, is trying to decide how he can get back to the field, back to Brazil, because he wants to come back, and he's just trying to decide if he's going to go back as a supported missionary through ABWE and be a missionary, so fourth-generation missionary, or if he's just going to go as a Brazilian and go down and get a job and be a missionary that way. So we talk about trying to encourage these missionaries, and we had some really fun, encouraging conversations, but as I'm sitting there talking to them, I'm just awed by the work that the Richners have done, all those years of sacrifice, all those years of focused attention, giving up everything. I don't know what Randy could have done, but he's gone and he's done this. Cindy, Randy's wife, her grandfather is part of the team that started ABWE. And her dad served on the board and was part of that leadership. And Cindy is a missionary. They've been on the field for 25 years. Just awesome to spend time with these people. So we go down, we try to encourage these missionaries, and we try and see what they're doing. We try to be force multipliers. We experience their ministry so we can pray more effectively for them. We've got names of people, Valdir. We've got names of Edson and others that we got to spend time with that we saw what they're doing, and we can pray for their ministries as they go forward. So as we go on these mission trips, those are the things that we're trying to accomplish. Those are the things that we're trying to do, and I think we did a pretty good job of ticking off those boxes. But there was two big takeaways that I had through this trip, and I'll get to those in just a second, because I forgot the twist of events that happened. So the team they flew down separately than Grace and I. We got there within a few minutes of each other. But then Grace and I left about 12 hours before the rest of the team. Our goal was to go on the way home to stop in Managua, Nicaragua, and spend some time with Mark and Jen Holsinger, just checking in on them and seeing how they're doing, and then go on from there to Orlando, where some of our missionaries, David and Julia, are there, trying to figure out what's next. So as we're flying north through all of South America, we get off the plane in Nicaragua, and God had different plans for us. We weren't able to get in the country for silly yellow fever vaccine. So we weren't able to go. It was all kinds of confusing and all kinds of frustrating. We got rerouted, and we ended up spending some time in Orlando, some more time in Orlando with David and Julia. Lots of amazing, really cool things that God did. It was a phenomenal time for Grace and I to spend with this young couple. If you don't know, this is a couple who was ministering in central China. They were arrested, interrogated. They were told they were never, ever going to leave where they were staying in the interrogation rooms. And then God said, no, no, no. Those are my servants. You can't touch them. They were released. And now they're in Orlando trying to figure out what's next. And to be honest, they're trying to figure out how they can go back to work, minister to those same people. And those are our missionaries. So you got Randy and Cindy, the whole Singers, which we didn't get to see. We talked to a bunch while we were on en route and whatnot. And David and Julia and little Evelyn. The two big takeaways that I've got for us this morning that I hope to encourage your heart with, and then we're going to look at the word for a minute. These two things is the shared experiences that we have as Christians. Whether it was in a church in Ivoci, in Portuguese, in a language we can't speak, we were able to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords lifted up and worshiped. And my heart was stirred. I could not understand a single word of what was being said. And the Spirit moved inside of my heart as I worshiped there. We also, Grace and I got to go to church with David and Julia. And this is a different church. It's a Presbyterian church. That's where they've landed at this point. And it was different. There's a whole different flow to their services and a whole different... But you know what? The name of Jesus was lifted up. Christ was glorified, and I had a shared experience with these brothers and sisters. When we go on mission trips, you're going to have shared experiences that open your eyes to the fact that the Church of Christ is so much bigger than Washington Heights. So we have these shared experiences, and that just was something that stuck with me, that there is something unique about being a believer in Jesus Christ, being part of the global church, where we can share experiences, even if we can't share languages, even if we share different formats of services. And then I was inspired by the example of our missionaries. I already talked about Randy and Cindy. I talked about David and Julia. Mark and Jen were people just like you guys sitting here. Mark was an accountant. Jen was raising a couple little kids. And God called them to the field, and they're in Nicaragua, serving, working. I was inspired by their example. But as I was inspired by their example, I was trying to process and kind of integrate some of these things. So it's great to have your heart moved by the fact that we've got shared experiences in Christ. And it's great to hear what we've done, what we did in Managua, or we did in Brazil and in Orlando. It's good to hear those things. But if we don't integrate those things into our lives, if we don't let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts and change who we are because of the experiences that we have, then we're missing the point of the experiences. So in the time remaining, I want to talk a little bit about some of our shared experiences. I want to talk about a command that Paul gives us. So if you'd go ahead and open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Pastor used this in part of his introduction last week. That's not why I'm using it today. This is just God's way of working through things. But in Philippians chapter 2, Paul gives some commands. He talks about some shared experiences, and then he gives us an example. And that's the focus the rest of our time. So if you would please stand while I read a couple of verses here, just in honor of the fact that this is the word of God, and we respect it. So starting in verse 1, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or deceit, conceit. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to their own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the very form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, I pray that you would speak through these amazing words. Change us today. Amen. You may be seated. So Paul starts this section, and he makes in verses 1 and 2, he talks about this shared experience that they have. Because if there's any encouragement, if you've ever been around other believers and you're encouraged by them, if you have this comfort that comes from the brotherly love with other Christians, if you've experienced that, if you've felt the Spirit moving in your heart, drawing you to someone that you can't understand, or someone that's nothing like you, or someone, if you've felt that Spirit comforting you in the times in the valley, if you've felt the Spirit, if you've felt affection and sympathy, he says, complete my joy. We have this shared experience as believers. That's the way that we can go to Evo Chi, Brazil, in a Portuguese-speaking church, and have our hearts stirred by the gospel that's being preached, even though we can't understand the words that are being preached. We can see Christ lifted up. We can see a video this morning of people being excited about good news, and then that little baby in the manger. We can be stirred by that. One thing to remember in our Western American individualistic paradigm, it's so easy to think that you're the only one who feels those things. That you might feel that stirring of the Spirit when you're watching that movie or you're in that space where, but you know what? It's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit. And so when we gather together as the Church of Washington Heights, we have a shared experience. That same Spirit that stirs in me stirs in you. That same Spirit that ripped Christ from the grave is in us. That's amazing. That same Spirit is the same Spirit that's working in the lives of people. So the churches that are gathering around the world today, the same Spirit that draws those people to worship Christ in those services is the same Spirit that's in us. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians how he is away from the Corinthian church, but with them in spirit. That's a little weird for us, right? That's a little weird. But because the same Spirit is in Paul and the same Spirit is in the Corinthians, and even though they're in different places, he can be with them in spirit. We can be with Randy and Cindy in spirit when they're worshiping. When you come together on a Sunday morning, and I'm so glad that you're here. Pastor says it all the time. Well, you could have chosen 100 different things to do on a Sunday morning, but you chose to be here this morning. When you come and you open your heart to the Spirit's work in your life, your spirit is worshiping the same Lord through the same Spirit as someone in a place that you can't understand and you may never go to. We have a shared experience. And so Paul says, if there's any encouragement, if you recognize that the Spirit works in and through us all, let Paul's joy be complete. And what he means by that is if that Spirit is the same Spirit that's in you and me and your brothers and sisters, act like it. He moves on in verses 2 through 4. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Don't be there to be seen. Don't volunteer to help in that way to make people think you think better of you. Don't do this or that to get ahead. It's the same spirit. It's the same experience that we're here for. We're drawn in with that same thing. What does it look like if the church like plays this out? If you've got that same spirit and we're as Paul says here, of the same mind, same love, being in full accord, nothing out of selfish ambition, in humility, counting each other more significant than yourselves. I think sometimes that looks like what we did a few minutes ago. Sharing stories, getting in each other's lives for a few seconds while you say, I had this experience, it was really cool, and it was worth sharing in this moment, even if it was coerced by the guy with the microphone. But I think it goes beyond that. I think the New Testament tells us that as a church, we should be a people who care for each other. We should be a people who, hey, you've got something in your teeth. Okay, so that's a simple, lighthearted example. Another simple, lighthearted example. So when I watch, I don't watch it often, but a few years ago when American Idol was like on its big, like really, really a thing and everybody was watching it, my favorite part of the series to hate was the first few episodes, right? It's the ones where it's the open auditions and everybody's there. I was watching it one time, and I was like, I was broken in my spirit. And I don't think I'm overplaying that, because it occurred to me, as someone was up there who clearly has no musical talent, it occurred to me that there's not a person in that person's life who loves them enough to say, you shouldn't go on national television. Don't go there. And yeah, it's lighthearted, but to be honest, clearly, unless they're just the person who's bad and they know it and they're just trying to get their 10 seconds of fame, that's one thing. But the person who goes up there and believes they're going to do a good job, nobody cared enough to spare them from that. If there's one thing the Church of Christ should be known for, it should be to say, hey, brother, where you're headed is death. Sister, where you're sitting in Satan's court. We should care for each other enough to say, okay, I love you. We got to talk. That should be one of the shared experiences that we have as believers. But see, so Paul goes through that list and he says, be of one mind, have one mission, have one goal, be focused on one thing together as a body. If we stopped there, we would think that Paul gave us a list. And I'm a list maker. I'm the guy that at the end of a day, I'll open up my planner and I'll write everything down that I did so I can check off. Because if sometimes you're like, what did I do today? What in the world? I had 5 things on my list and I didn't get to any of them. What did I do? Oh, I got that. Oh, okay. All right, I feel better about today. I'm that guy. Maybe you are that too. But if we stop here, if we stop at verse 5, right before verse 5, we're going to walk away thinking, I've got some rules that I've got to do. I've got some things I need to do to make God happy with me. And that is not at all what the point of this passage is about. So we're not going to stop there. We're going to keep going. Paul preaches the gospel here. Paul gives, in the next couple of verses, one of the most concise, beautiful, theologically rich passages that's out there. Like, core doctrines are founded in some of the things that are right here. But it's tied to Paul's exhortation, his command to be of one mind. So it's not just theology for the sake of theology. Paul's not just trying to make your mind full of truth about who Jesus is and what he does. So when he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the very form of God, So when we sang Revelation song, we sing that song a few minutes ago, the throne room of God. Those are verses ripped right out of Revelation. That's why it's called Revelation song. The throne room of God with Jesus, that's his place. Crazy creatures with eyes and wings, and that's where he lives. But he didn't think that that was something to hang on to. What was rightfully his from the beginning, from before the beginning of time, and for all eternity, what's rightfully his, he said, I set that aside. He set it aside. He emptied himself. He became a servant. He became a slave. He became human. I mean, he became a person. He became obedient to the Father. He didn't just come and do some good things. He didn't just come and serve. So we're in a church. When I say serve, some of you went to setting up chairs in your minds. Do-do-do. Church, serve, chairs. Or maybe it's making a meal. Church, serve, meal. Or maybe it's reffing a basketball game. Or maybe it's coaching kids in something. Maybe it's listening to verses in Awana. Maybe it's working in a sound booth. Maybe it's up on a praise team. So those are all things that we do that are service. And when Jesus came and he became a servant, there were things he did. He washed feet. He fed people. He healed them. But if we're not careful, we can think that being of the same mind as Christ stops it being a servant. Being helpful, being using that gift of helps. Yes, you should have a servant's heart. But the one true servant laid down his life willingly. When I used to read this as a kid growing up in the church, laid down his life, I'm called to lay down my life. Okay, I will put myself in front of the bus to save someone else. I will stop the bullet. Right? Maybe that's how you've thought about the pastor before. Okay, I've got to be willing to lay down my life physically like Jesus did to save somebody else. That might be the big picture. That might be the 30,000-foot view of be willing to give it all up. Paul talks about it a couple of verses before this. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Maybe that's that. Okay, that's part of it, I think. But what does it look like to lay down your life for other people the same way that Jesus did? Okay, the gospel is that God pursues lost things and paid for that with his life. So if we're going to have the same mind as Christ and we're going to serve others and lay down our life for them for the sake of the gospel, what does that look like? Maybe that looks like going to your neighbor with a little flyer that says A Timeless Christmas at the Heights and saying, I don't know how this is going to change our relationship. I really don't like talking to strangers. All the excuses that we can come up with for why we don't go share the good news that's in our hearts, lay that down. Which I think sometimes is a whole lot harder to lay down those things than it is to be willing to step in front of a bus. Because I'd step in front of a bus for any one of you. Now, the reality is none of us stand at the bus stop together. So I feel pretty confident I don't have to back that up. Okay? Where it all falls apart is that I've got to be willing to lay down my life in the church. That looks like putting other people's preferences, other people's dreams, putting those things ahead of yours. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about that same shared experience we have in the Spirit of God, in the person of Christ. That's what it's about. Outside of church, So Paul talks in Ephesians and in Galatians, and he talks about relationships we have with people. So if you're in a job, raise your hand if you have a job. Anywhere. Moms, you count? Absolutely count. So you got a job. Paul says, the way that you lay your life down for your boss is you treat him the way you treat Christ. You submit to him. You submit to that boss, not for the boss's approval, not to be a good employee, but because when you submit to the authority that God's placed in your life, you reflect the gospel. Because when Jesus was asked by the Father, son, you gotta go get him. The sheep aren't working, like the sacrificial sheep. Not working, not gonna do it. It's your time. He obeyed to the point of death, even death on a cross. In the home, in Ephesians, Paul talks about wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, lay down your lives. That's putting the things that I want aside, dying to those things, dying to everything that I think is my right and worth, that it's mine because Jesus did. When we do that, we have the same mind that Christ did. When we do that, we can have shared experiences, true shared experiences. So I encourage you, I urge you, the word here, when Paul says, when he talks about complete my joy, I urge you to seek God's guidance, to seek his direction. As you think about the daily interactions that you have with people, when you're talking to someone and they're telling a story, instead of thinking about the story that you're going to counter with, or instead of thinking just about experiencing the conversation, just in the back of your mind, Father, how can I lay my life down for this person? For the sake of the gospel. When that interaction is going really poorly and you really want to just respond in your flesh, Father, how can I lay down my life for this person? For the sake of the gospel. So if you're here this morning and you're sitting here going, okay, so you're talking about shared experiences, you're talking about this spirit, you're talking, this is all really weird. If you're here and you're not someone who believes this, you don't buy into this because it's all foreign, but something that I've said this morning kind of stirred something in your heart, and today is the day of your salvation. If you just say, God, I don't know everything that he's talking about. I don't understand that word doctrine and theology and what it all means. I don't understand it all, but I want to. Today could be the day that you choose to have the Holy Spirit take over and for you to become one of us and have these shared experiences. And if there is any encouragement in Christ, if you are a believer, follow his example. Lay aside your rights, your privileges, your dreams, your preferences for the sake of the gospel. Lay down your life in pursuit of lost things just like Jesus did. Maybe that means going to a foreign field as a full-time missionary. Maybe that means joining with me on the next missions trip, which we haven't decided which one it's going to be yet, so if you want input on that, come talk to me. But maybe it's going on a short-term missions trip. But probably, for most of us, it means going to the coworker who's shared an openness to spiritual things. Or as we head to the holidays, it's family members who are far from God that you can lean into that conversation a little more. Or to the neighbors. The worship team is going to come. They're going to sing a song. Take that time. If you need to take that time to get right with God, to do some business there, do it. But then follow up on it. Have the same mind that's in Christ. Lay down your life for the sake of the gospel. Father, we ask you this morning to use your word your spirit that inspired the word, that inspired the authors to put these words on these pages for us to look at thousands of years later. It's that same spirit that stirs inside of us. God, I know because your word does not go out and return void, that there are people in this room who have been stirred by your spirit. Maybe it's to trust you fully for the first time. Maybe it's to say yes, go to the mission field. Maybe it's to go to the neighbor, coworker, friend, family member. Father, I pray that we would be obedient to your Spirit's leading as we go and lay down our lives for the sake of the gospel. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.